Promises, promises. We make them all the time. Some of them are promises that are perhaps a little simpler. They don't have significant consequences. But then there are promises that we make that are quite significant. The promise we make to our children, the promise of marriage, the promise priests make, sisters make, religious brothers make. And we also know that with those significant promises, when they are broken, the hurt and the pain is usually considerable. In today's first reading, we see clearly the promise of God. In a very real way, this story that we get of David and Nathan is the promise of a Messiah, of a God who will build a dynasty that will last forever because he will give us someone who will be son, someone for whom he is father, a kingdom without end. Now, of course, the challenge with the promise of God is that life can get in the way. We can think in our own lives that this is clearly something that God wants us to do, only to discover that maybe it wasn't. David and Nathan are certain that God is with them in the building of a temple. But historically, we know that David did not build the temple. His son Solomon did. And in fact, it's that very night that God says, "No, you've got it wrong. You are not going to build a house for me. I am going to build a house for you." Sit around any planning meeting, and generally speaking, the solution to a problem is to do something. And in the church, that's the temptation as well. We simply need this new program or this new activity. And if we do these things, then indeed we will grow. We will change. People will come to church again. The problem is that generally speaking, we tend to focus on simple solutions. We tend to think that if we only do this, then that will clearly happen. We know, though, that that's not really the way it works with God. In fact, many times, it doesn't work that way at all. And in the most important moment of our salvation, or at least one of them, with Mary, she provides us an interesting pathway to understanding the will of God in our lives and what we need to be. And notice, I said what we need to be, not what we need to do. The doing is of God. That's what Mary says in today's gospel. She doesn't say, "Okay, I will make this decision, and I will do these things, and I will raise your son, and I will be a good mother, and I will be a good wife to Joseph." She doesn't focus on activity. She focuses on being. She is the passive recipient of what the Holy Spirit is going to do in her life. "Let it be done to me according to your word." Let me be the vehicle of grace. Let me be the one who receives the Holy Spirit and allows the Holy Spirit to act in my life. Take a look at the world around us. I don't know about you, but it really seems like it's in a mess. We're so divided. We're so angry. We're so convinced that we have the right solution, and that if only the people that disagreed with us could stop being idiots and agree with us, then everything would be fine. But that's not the case. And this attitude, whether it is in politics, whether it is in society, whether it's in our families, or whether it's even in the church, is crippling us. It's paralyzing us. We're not able to do even the simplest of things because we're so convinced that the spiritual life is about action. It's about being. Will you be the child of God that God has created you to be? Will you make the prayer of Mary your prayer to allow the Holy Spirit to do with you as the Holy Spirit knows is best? Will you take a moment in your life to simply stop and seek the presence of God? Mary's whole life was changed, but yet we have no idea what she was doing beforehand. Was she in the middle of some very busy task for her family? Was she tired? Was she thinking about whatever plan it might be for her wedding? We don't know. But what we do know is that she focused on what God could do for her in her life. In many ways, that was the most ordinary thing that Mary could do. It was an ordinary decision. It was an ordinary vocation. She was called to be the mother of Jesus. What's more ordinary than being a mother? And yet, what is more extraordinary? She was called to be the husband of Joseph. What is more ordinary in our world than marriage? A family. What makes her extraordinary is her ability to allow God to work through her, to allow God to seek, to cause her to seek to be more like God in the way in which she interacts with other people, the way in which she is a mother, a wife, a disciple. Today, a few days before the celebration that we make where we recognize that God keeps his promises, which he did. He sent us his son Jesus, and in the midst of all of this chaos of the world in which we live, Jesus is still present in our midst. In the midst of that recognition, let us make the words of Mary our words and our prayer. Let it be done to me, O God, according to your word.